it's necessary, and of course at other times too. Well, this is one of our very special times with us, so to speak, for Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, the fact that he dwells here on our altars. I want to recall to you what I mentioned about the priest, Father Brian Houghton. I mentioned him on Friday at the opening mass. This is the priest that went into hiding, basically, when the new mass was enforced. He knew he would never say what was a rewrite of the canon of the mass, that most sacred part of the mass. And we recall reading from his life that when he was a Protestant boy in a Catholic boarding school, he was trying to understand the mass. And he couldn't understand it. It looked beautiful, but he also heard beautiful words in his Protestant church wherever he would attend when he was not at this Catholic boarding school. And then one day he asked one of his fellow Catholic students, "What is the Mass?" And his fellow student must have been inspired by the Holy Ghost, because he said something that would stay with him his whole life. Father Houghton, well, Brian Houghton, the little boy, was asking, "What makes it different between the services in my Protestant church when I go there and the Mass?" And his fellow student said, this is inspired word, he says, "Well, they talk about Jesus, but the Mass is Jesus." And that really crystallized for him. From that moment on, it led to his conversion. And ever thereafter, 70 years later, he's still telling about how that inspired him so much. He would say that's what makes the Catholic faith different from the other religions that talk about Jesus. He said the Catholic faith is Jesus. We believe that this is our Lord and God, because he said so. And we also are overawed by that fact that he will literally come on our tongues in Holy Communion. We don't have to worship him at a great distance like so many of the chosen people did. We get to come into his house to kneel within several feet or more of the Holy of Holies. And then that Holy of Holies is put on our tongue. Human reason rejects this. Says it cannot be. How can this man, as the people said after Jesus miraculously fed them, with thousands of them, from 5 loaves and 2 fishes, so many, most of them said, "This is impossible for us to eat your flesh and drink your blood." And they turned away, even though they saw what he could do through that miracle. And I was just thinking, how did Jesus make it so that we could receive his body and blood? Would we readily accept his body and blood if it literally was piece of his flesh? Humanly speaking, we would recoil in horror. So because Jesus loves us so much and wants so much to be part of us, to be within us, he devised something that is an absolute miracle. He took bread and he changed it into his body. And it still looks like bread, tastes like bread, acts like bread. But the substance is no longer bread. It was transubstantiated into his flesh. So that's how the infinite love of Jesus divides to feed our souls. It would still have a pleasing sensation of bread, but it's not bread, it's his body. He would take wine, which is also a pleasingly tasting substance. And he would change that into his blood so that we could drink it. And of course, you don't drink from the chalice, but you receive the blood of Jesus because it's in his body. And it acts like wine, looks like wine, tastes like wine. But that's how he made it happen. So we cannot help but reflect on the infinite love of Jesus, who loves us so much that he just doesn't want us to be in his presence. He wants his presence to be inside of us. And we can't have him continuously there. But what a precious 15 minutes it is when we receive the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Maker of heaven and earth, in his body, blood, soul, and divinity, in that little white house before we bow low in reverent, the most reverent adoration. So, my dear brethren, we can see that let us love Jesus Christ ever more and more, and let us allow ourselves to be loved. Ever think about that? Allow myself to feel the effects of the love of Christ, who wants to help me more than I can ever imagine. And he has the power to give us every grace and blessing that we need. He has the power to fix all of our problems, take away all of our problems. But as we know, the problems he doesn't take away, he sustains us. My grace is sufficient for thee. He sustains us in a way that we could have never endured it ourselves. So this is a day of, even though it's during Lent, of a very solemn rejoicing, of gratitude, of reverence, of adoration. Let us ask our Holy Mother Mary to help us to love and to understand more and more what it is to be loved by our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Holy Communion is a foretaste of heaven itself. It's the pledge of eternal life. And let us keep reaching out to our most blessed Lord in the Holy Eucharist for all those graces and blessings. He will surely give them to us.